A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's top local story, special coverage with Dave and Dujanovic.
You heard it here first and live when Lindsay Ayres broke the news that CNN's reporting the city of Moab is investigating its own police department on how they handled that 911 call when Gabby Petito and Brian Laundrie were in a fight in Moab on August 12th.
And quite honestly, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Technically, I see what they're doing, but it doesn't make a lot of sense. But this is really the argument, is that the police should have arrested either Brian or Gabby because of that altercation. Just, it's cut and dried. The law is very clear that you should have arrested somebody because, you know, there was a physical altercation. They are in a relationship, and the law is cut and dried.
Well, and remember, we also heard that 911 call several days ago right here on KSL News Radio when that caller said, was very clear, Dave, very clear that Brian was hitting Gabby on Main Street.
What were they doing?
We drove by and a gentleman was slapping the girl.
He was slapping her?
Yes, and then we stopped. They ran up and down the sidewalk. He proceeded to hit her, hopped in the car, and they drove off.
And Moab City wants to make sure that its officers followed their protocols, their policies. And let's bring Garna Mejia of KSL Television into the conversation. Garna, you have been covering this. In fact, you were, the first reporter to break the story that the family had reported Gabby missing. Her mom had, dad had reported her missing. My feeling with that Moab police investigation now being conducted by the city of Moab is that Moab really has no choice but to at least look over what went on that body cam video, make certain that police actually knew from the dispatch center that that 911 call had come in and what that caller specifically said about Brian, in order to make sure that their policies weren't violated. What are your thoughts?
You know what? I think you guys bring up some really good points. With that, you know, going through that body cam footage, we know that there's obviously a huge amount of concern because of how close it was to Gabby last talking to her parents, right? I think it was like 13 days. I think the concern is also, as you watch that body cam video, it seems that different officers kind of have different takes of what they were answering a call to. You know, you have the officer that ultimately kind of made the decision as to what they were going to do, that felt that Gabby was at fault because she had admitted to, you know, scratching and pushing, or not pushing, but hitting Brian's arm. You have that, and then that kind of leads him to say, okay, well, she would be at fault. She's been physical. And I just spoke to the witnesses. He says the two witnesses, and they say that they never really saw if he was trying to push her as in a defensive move because she was trying to hurt him, or if it was he was being aggressive, right? And so I think there's just a lot of little nitpicky things where you're trying to understand why did they make that decision. And ultimately, they felt she was the aggressor, and if they weren't going to charge her, then they had to separate her. That was what they, you know, legally felt that they had to do.
And this is what's so difficult, Garna, is we've been breaking this down for days now, trying to piece it all together, and we're kind of projecting our own knowledge. Remember, and I think this is important, we have to remember these cops are just rolling up on a scene with very little information and background.
Yeah, and you have to wonder, What exactly was it that dispatch told officers? And, you know, were there more than one witness? And was that the witness to the one that called 911 that saw the slapping? And you look at that body cam video, and I kind of walked away with some questions when Gabby's kind of showing them, and she's showing them how he kind of grabbed her face, like kind of by the jaw. You know, that to me would be something that I would want to ask more questions about. And now we have to see, you know, were those protocols followed? Did they ask her, were you hurt? How did he hurt you? You know, to understand really what her reaction was. And there's two big contradictions in that, too. I mean, he tells officers that they had had a great, wonderful morning and she had just gotten upset. And she told them something completely different. She said, we've had a terrible morning. We've been fighting. You know, sometimes he stresses me out and I'm normally a happy person. Like, this isn't like me, you know. And did they ask enough questions to understand what situation she was in, I guess?
We've asked Garna Mejia of KSL Television to join us over the last several days. She's been following this case very, very closely, been talking to the family of Gabby Petito since they first reported Gabby missing on September 11th. I mean, she was one of the first reporters to get a hold of the mom and make sure that we were getting the word out that she was searching for her daughter. And Garna, as I look at the handwritten police report, it seems we have two witnesses here, in my view, from what I've been able to piece together. We've got the guy that calls 911. It says it looks like Brian is hitting Gabby. Then we have this written statement, handwritten statement by another witness who fills out a police statement form, and he indicates that you know, it looks like Gabby is punching Brian in a way that she wants to get in the van because she's been locked out. Maybe he's leaving her and taking her phone with him, and leaving her without a phone. And that concerns me as well, because I know in instances of domestic disputes, you cannot interfere with a person's ability to communicate, because under the guise of the law, once again, that is a violation of the law. So when he's taking her phone in that moment, I want to know if the city of Moab thinks that the Moab Police Department followed the protocols just based on what this other witness has written in its statement. We don't know yet. We don't know how long this review is going to take, this formal investigation that they're launching. But I want to know what they make of that particular statement, that he's driving away with the van, or she thinks he is, and she's being left behind, and she's not going to have a way to call anybody.
Well, and I think, you guys, if I remember correctly, in that body cam, she states, he's locked me out this morning. So I want to say that it had been happening throughout the morning. It wasn't like this one time. You know, you kind of have to ask that question. Why was she so concerned about being locked out? Was this a pattern? And I think those are all questions that obviously we in general have, but you zero in on this incident that we do know of that is documented and was, like you say, that protocol followed. Now, in speaking with Gabby's family, they've mentioned to me, you know, like, this was classic domestic violence. This was this was textbook, a controlling relationship that was unhealthy. And I think from their perspective, they feel hurt that they didn't realize, they didn't catch on to the red flags either. They said, you know, they've taken trips before. This wasn't their first time going, you know, cross country, going on vacation together. And we didn't know that this was what they were dealing with.
Garna Mejia, thank you for joining us. We appreciate the update. And Debbie, I think Garna hit on something really, really interesting there. It's easy to look at these cops and blame and say, why didn't they catch on to this? Why didn't they see what was going on? As we scour over every line of a report and break down every single word, again, the people that knew her best, her own parents, didn't see this. They didn't know what was going on. So how do you expect two cops that roll in from a 911 call to be able to decipher what's going on in this relationship? It's not cut and dried, and we're trying to make it cut and dried.
I want to go back to the law, though, Dave. The law says nothing about officers having to review how their two-year relationship is going. It specifically says that in moments of a domestic violence where they have probable cause to believe there's been domestic violence, they shall make an arrest or issue a citation. Neither one of those things happened. They made a determination that it was a mental health issue involving Gabby, and that they would separate the two, put Brian in a hotel, and send Gabby off with the van. And I believe that is why the city of Moab wants to review this formally, investigate if their officers took the proper actions in this moment on August 12th.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.